find it kind of interesting that this Feast of the Holy Family happens always in the octave of Christmas, at that very time in the year when families are getting together and huge expectations are put on family. This idealized family that the culture presents, where everybody gets along, and we've all experienced some kind of failure in the last week. Somebody didn't show up. Old animosities rose, and you said something you shouldn't have said, and you know, on and on. And everybody decides, oh my gosh, we have the most dysfunctional family in the world. But the scriptures don't present that idealized vision of family. That's a cultural thing. It's advertising, you know, it's something that's trumped up, no pun intended, to sell things, basically. The way the Bible presents family is in the larger context of the family of God. And so it's always a balance. We don't idealize family in the church, and we don't idolize it. We don't turn it into an idol. It's in the context of something bigger, namely the family of God. And so the scriptures give us wonderful examples. That first reading from the book of Samuel about the prophet Samuel and Hannah, his mother, a year before we hear this passage we got today, she's praying in the temple for a child. She's barren. And everything that that meant in that culture and in those days, and she's pouring her heart out to God, and she's mumbling out loud. And so the priest comes over and says, get out of here, you drunken woman. You know, go take your wine someplace else. You're making a scene. And she says, I'm not drunk. I haven't had any wine. I'm just pouring my heart out to the Lord, and inadvertently I got to saying it out loud. And so he says, come back a year from now and you'll be carrying a son. And sure enough, it happens. So she experiences Samuel, her son, as an absolute gift from God. And she determines that she's going to give him back to God in the same way that God gave him to her. And so after she weans the child, she presents him in the temple. Her husband makes the official sacrifice of a young bull. And then she leaves him there to be dedicated to God for the rest of his life. It's a wonderful story, a little scary. How could you do that? But it's presenting a kind of an ideal of service. Now, the reason we have that reading this morning is because it ties in with the gospel. Samuel is given in the temple for his life. Jesus becomes the temple. Jesus is lost in the temple for 3 days and then found. Later in the gospel, he's going to tell the scribes and the Pharisees, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they say, it took 46 years to build this temple. How are you going to rebuild it in 3 days? And his disciples later recalled that what he was really talking about was his body. And his body lay in the tomb for 3 days and then rose. And he becomes the temple. In Christianity, we don't celebrate temples, do we? We have churches. There are no temples in Christianity, because Jesus is the temple, and his body is the temple. And who is his body? You and me, the church. And so in a few moments, we're going to incense you, because you incense what is Christ, the altar, the gospel book, the people. The opening prayer for today asks that we would be graced to live out holiness in family life and in works of charity. So there's a kind of a balance happening there too. Not only a balance between our earth family and our divine family, but also a balance in terms of the way we express and live love in family and out of family to the larger world. And so we gather here every Sunday as the family of God. Now, notice the second reading is from the first letter of St. John, and he says, we are God's children now. What we shall later be hasn't been revealed yet, but we know that when it is revealed, we will see him as he is, because we will be like him. We have divine genes coursing through our veins. Our DNA is divine. We come from God, we're going to God, we were born in his image, and we are moving toward his likeness. And that's our family. And so Jesus in that gospel says to Mary, and you can understand her anxiety, you know. She says, how could you do this to us? We've been searching for you with great anxiety. And he says to her in that typical snotty way that a 12-year-old would say it to his mother. They've learned to talk back by then. Why were you looking for me? Don't you know that I would be in my father's house? Kind of hurtful words in a way, because what he's saying is, my father is not Joseph. My father is the heavenly father. And Joseph had to stand there and listen to that. But isn't that true about all family? It's gift, it's love, it's union, but it's letting go of all that at the same time, because every child has to grow up and go their own way, and you have to let go of them. And every child has to grow up and find out that it's not all about them, that it's about the others. And so they have to figure out how they are going to do that in their particular personal calling. We gather here not so much to feel good, and not so much to be entertained and coddled and warmed. That kind of happens too. It's nice when the music is great. It's nice when the incense smells good, and you're not allergic to it, thank God. But it isn't really about that either, is it? It's about gathering the strength, the love, the grace, to go out there and be that to the world. Church, in Greek ekklesia, means the gathering place or the gathering. So church is us gathered here. But church is also us being kicked out of here, expelled out into the larger world. It's like, this has been nice, but now get out there and live it. We're sort of kicked out the door. And how do we do that? Well, each of us has to figure that out in our own way. Each of us has to discern, let's say, in prayer, day by day, how we're going to balance our microcosmic family of our family unit with the family of the human race and the cosmos and God. We're going to have to discern day by day how love is going to look in the way we live. What we're going to say, what we're going to do, how we're going to be faithful, how we're going to let go. But we get the grace for that. We get the strength for that from these two tables. From the table of the Word, from which we are nourished, and from the table of the Eucharist, from which we are nourished. If we are children of God, and if we are primarily members of the family of God, then we have to be nourished by that, week in and week out. We have to find that our true nourishment doesn't come from the food we eat at other tables. It's from the food that we eat at these tables.